I have taken liberty to change the title of the message along with the scripture reading. I will probably do what was actually listed in the bulletin next Sunday. But I was inspired this week by some and reminded that sometimes we have little control of our lives and our surroundings. It wasn't that serious, but I will tell the story later. And I'm going to read from Job, because I think Job, somehow, I think one of the things that Job points out to us, the unseen hand of God that works in our lives. We don't see it. We don't always acknowledge it. But there are times in our lives when we have to pause and have to acknowledge it. And so I'm going to read a little bit of Job. I found it rather inspiring and touching at the time. And I'm going to read Job 9, and then I'm going to flip back towards the back and when the Lord responds to Job. Job asks a lot of questions and is seeking a lot of answers, and there's a dialogue between all three of them. It's one of the oldest writings that are in the book. In our Bible, and I think it's worth paying attention to. And at the beginning of chapter 9, he's responding to Bildad about some of the things he said. He said, he will fill your lips with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy, and your enemies will be clothed in shame, and the tents of the wicked will be no more. And then Job replies, indeed, I know that this is true, but how can a mere mortal prove their innocence before God? Though they wish to dispute with him, they could not answer him one time out of a thousand. His wisdom is profound, his power is vast. Who has resisted him and come out unscathed? He moves mountains without their knowing it, and he overturns them in his anger. He shakes the earth from its place and makes his pillars tremble. He speaks to the sun, and it does not shine. He seals off the lights of the stars. He alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. He is the maker of the Bear and Orion and Pleiades and the constellations of the south. He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. When he passes me, I cannot see him. When he goes by, I cannot perceive him. If he snatches away, who can stop him? Who can say to him, what are you doing? And the Lord's response, eventually to Job, towards the end of the book, and the Lord says to Job, who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched the measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels and the sons of God shouted for joy. Who shut up the sea behind the doors when it burst forth from the womb? Who, when I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits on it and set its doors and bars in place? When I said, this far you may come and no further. Here is where your pride waves halt. Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place, that it may take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it? The earth takes shape like clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. And the wicked are denied their light, and their upraised hand is broken. Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea, or walked to the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates in the deepest darkness? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me if you know all of this. What is the way to the abode of the light? And where does darkness reside? Can you take them to their places? Do you know the paths of their dwelling? Surely you know, for you were already born. You have lived so many years. Have you ever entered the storehouse of the snow, or seen the storehouse of the hail, which I reserve for times of trouble, for days of war and battle? What is the way to the place where lightning is dispensed, or the place where the east winds are scattered across over the earth? Who cuts the channel for the torrent of the rain, or a path for the thunderstorm? To water a land where no one lives, an uninhabited desert. To satisfy the isolated wasteland, or to make it sprout with grass. Does the rain have a father? Who fathers the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice? Who gives birth to the frost on the heavens, when the waters become hard as snow, as stone, when the surface of the deep is frozen? Can you bind the beauty of the Pleiades? Can you loosen Orion's belt? Can you bring forth the constellations in their seasons, or lead the bear of Leo with his cubs? Do you know the laws of the heavens? Can you set up God's dominion over the land? Can you raise your voice to the clouds and cover yourself with the flood of water? Do you send the lightning bolts on their way? Do they report to you, "Here we are"? Who gives the wisdom? Who gives rooster understanding? Who gives the wisdom to count the clouds? Who can tip over the water jars of the heavens when the dust becomes hard and the clods of earth stick together? Job finally responds, "I know that you do all things. No purpose of yours is thwarted. You ask, 'Who is this that obscures my plan without knowledge?' Surely I speak of things I do not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, 'Listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me.' My ears have heard of you, and my eyes, and now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent, and in dust and in ashes." The symbolism of God's hand, or God's hand is used in the Bible about 1,800 times. It's a symbol of the activity or the action of God or the power of God. This week, it seems as though I was along for the ride. I started out my week. I went up to three stops in Ontario. It was fine Sunday night. I got up and got my first stop off. And I went to Mississauga, that was my second one, by Toronto. And I've been there many times. It's not an unusual place. Nice, friendly place. And I backed into the dock and I went to pull ahead to get readjust and to back in square. And I heard this boom. I didn't go nowhere. So I locked in my power divider and nothing went. So I knew it wasn't my rear end. I knew what it was. And I climbed out and looked underneath, and sure enough, my drive shaft went like this. And there I was. I was stuck. I couldn't go nowhere. It's really quite a helpless feeling. So I walked inside, and I had brought some books up for Sando, that's the receiver's name, some hunting books that was given to me by another person who used to work for Mercer Transportation. I was a little concerned about it because there were books about guns and hunting and what have you. And sometimes when I go across the border, they ask me, you know, are you leaving anything else other than what your load is in Canada? And, well, luckily this time they didn't ask me that. So I went in to see Sando. I said, I broke my drive shaft. I can't go nowhere. He said, But I said, I got some books for you. And he says, well, let's go get the books, and then we'll worry about you being broke down. So I went out and I gave him the books, and I says, well, do you know anybody that can repair my truck? No. So there I was. Now what do I do? So I went online, and sure enough, I punched in semi-truck repairs near me. And sure enough, A1 came up in Mississauga. Had no clue who this person was. So I called him. Oh yeah, no problem. There were some Indian people, didn't speak real good English. That's okay, I can deal with that, that's no problem. He said, someone will call you right away. So the repair guy, he has come to find out, he has a lot of repair trucks that go around, vans that go around, that's what he does. And my first phone call, can you imagine that? And sure enough, he called me back and said, oh yeah, no problem, we'll be right out in 45 minutes. I said, well, that's great, no problem. So pretty soon he comes out, and I go to tell Sando, oh, somebody's gonna be out in 45 minutes. Great, no problem. Meanwhile, I'm all worried about blocking the dock and worrying about other trucks coming in and all this and that. And sure enough, they come out. They pull the drive shaft out, and he says, I'll go take it to the shop. Maybe we'll be done today. I said, oh, that'd be great. Called, texted me at about 4:30, he said, no, not till 9:30, 10 tomorrow. I said, oh, this is gonna be a problem. I'm blocking the dock, now what do? So all night long, I'm concerned about sitting here. It was a really good, safe place. It couldn't have been a better place, really. I mean, I can't really complain about where it happened at. There's a lot of things I can't complain about. I'm not complaining. I think there was a hand at work, actually. So tomorrow morning, I look out my window to make sure there wasn't any trucks behind me waiting to want my dock, and there was nobody there. I said, this is unusual. So I get out and I wait, patiently wait. Pretty soon they text me and they say, dry shaft not going to be done till noon, 1 o'clock. I said, oh, there's bound to be somebody show up. Well, luckily no one showed up, and about 11:30, they text me and they said, dry shift done early, be out 30 minutes. Great, no problem. So they came out, put the dry shift in. No one showed up to be the, no problem there. No one came for the dock, which is to me very unusual. He also told me that, you're lucky. I said, why? He said, the first shop said it would take 5 days. The second shop, they said, they told me about the same thing, but I convinced them that you were in a bad spot and you needed help, and so they decided to help me and make the dry shaft right away. But they had to order a part. A lot of things happened. So the whole time while I'm sitting there, my world has stopped. I'm realizing that there's a lot of activity going around me, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm stopped. I get to observe and to think and to contemplate and to worry, all these things that humans do. Eventually I got fixed and I pulled out to leave. No problem, worked great. I went over to my last stop, which was Woodbridge, which was about 14 miles away. And there's another truck coming out of there that had a little bit of difficulty, broke his airline in the process, but he got it fixed, and he was on his way out. Same company as me, cranked down the window, and he said, where you ever been here before? It's a tight spot. I said, where are you going? Mississauga. So all this time that I was there, broke down, there was a truck eventually gonna be there, but within an hour of me getting fixed, this truck showed up at Mississauga to get unloaded. Somehow, I felt I was truly blessed. I feel that someone was looking out for me. That's what I say, and that's what I tell my friends. So, the question is, or some of the questions is, was there a window created for me in my breakdown? At this particular time and at this particular spot, was somebody looking out for me? He told me that there's a 2-inch round piece of metal that was started cracking the whole way around, and it had been cracked for a long time. And he says, you only broke the last little piece of it in the middle. And I have been driving for who knows how long. And at that same time, at that spot, which was safe to park, no one to bother me, and I could get repairs very locally, I say somebody was looking out for me. I believe that under the layers and layers and layers of things that happen, there is a plan. We as humans are so worried by our actions and our things, and sometimes we can't clear away the clutter and to see the hand of God working. In the mesh of all things, which John Edwards talks about, was this spot created at some time? Was it merely a good luck, a happenstance? Is that all it was? I don't believe that. Same with your life. I'm not saying I'm a lucky one and you're not. We all have these things. We all have this space in which we see the hand of God working. Something working. Maybe we don't want to call it the hand of God. Maybe we want to say it's a spirit, or the spirit of God or something. Some type of consciousness that's unforeseen that is alive and well, that is moving humanity and all of creation around. Paul Johnson writes this about Christianity, which I have used his epilogue and will probably use it next Sunday, pertaining to Christianity. He says, Christianity contains its self-correcting mechanism. The insights provided by Christ's teachings are capable of almost infinite elaboration and explorations. The Christian matrix form a code to be translated afresh in each new situation, so that Christian history is a constant process of struggle and rebirth, a succession of crises, often accompanied by horror, bloodshed, bigotry, unreason, but evidence of growth, vitality, and the increase of understanding. What he is saying, in the way I understand it, is yes, there is a heavy human layer of activity, but underneath all of that, there is a plan, a design. His very first statement that I read in the beginning was that he said Christianity didn't happen by a happenstance. I do believe that. Now, do I believe that every activity is predestined? I think no. I think that there is a big layer of human choice that we have. But underneath that, there is an energy, a design, something. The idea that I've been listening to a course called Big History, and it talks about creation, and there is different stages of creation. I don't know how many, 7, 8, 9, 10 different ones, till they get to the point of where our solar system was created. Whether you believe in a young Earth or a 13.7 billion year old universe, it doesn't really matter to me at this point. But the analogy that this gentleman gave me, that someone else had came up with, the professor gave, was that our solar system was compared to, or analytically, to a baker who bakes a cake. A baker puts all the ingredients into a bowl, and he stirs it up, and he dumps out of the bowl into the baking pan to bake the cake. And he says that all the material that's in our universe is like that. The main part of the cake is our son. It took is that much goes into our son. What was around the edge of the bowl where we when we were kids and we took our fingers and we ate that, that's the part that makes up our planets that circle around the sun. That's how much difference it is. And he says, as this cake of energy started contracting, it started to spin. And when it started to spin, it took that material around the edge of the bowl, so to speak, and started spinning it. And it started creating the planets in which we have in this solar system. He said, that's why our solar system is flat. I thought, that's interesting. So my question is, which he does not address in any of this, yes, we know how the solar system, or we have an understanding of how the solar system was created, and even most of the, some of the universe. But what was the energy source that did it? What power did it? Did it merely act on its own? It's an unforeseen source somewhere in the universe that we don't see. It's alive and well. We only see the actions. Same way with me and my what happened to me. I only see the actions. I could have complained and whined and carried on, but somehow I seen a design in all the pause that it gave me. Would I have seen that every day? Not as plainly as if I would have, while I was sitting there, broke down in a pause of life. Sometimes that's what it takes us, a pause of life to see this. Sometimes I think we forget, as I conclude, the beauty that is around us. I delivered what happened is the loads that I lost while I broke down. I actually got one of them back again, and I had another one, so I really lost no money other than the repair bill. So Thursday night, as I was going up to Quebec, I went up 91 and it was cold, about 4 degrees below zero in the morning. I was sleeping in the rest area. I got up at about just as it started getting daylight. Everything was frosty and shiny and bright. And I started out of the rest area, and when it's real, real cold, my truck creates clouds. The heat immediately goes to cloud, about zero. And this long trail of clouds is behind me, and I'm lumbering out of the rest areas, going up over the hill, and I crest over the hill, and I see houses where the furnaces are burning with little smoke coming out. The beauty was just unbelievable, just beautiful. And I went on and delivered my load, and I came across Quebec and came over out Champlain, and I started down below Plattsburgh, and the snow is on the ground. This is in the middle of the day. The green trees, you can't get no phone service. And my phone, as my conversation faded off at the last person I was talking to, one of a friend of mine, I never turned the radio on. I just rode down through the Adirondacks, just listening to the motor, just on cruise, take me up and down the hills. What a beautiful ride. It ended in such a beautiful week. And so where was the hand of God? Everywhere. Amen.
Blessing to many. We ask all of this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.